You know, guys from Tennessee Temple, they get in huge trouble if they take their clothes
off. Yeah, you can't.
That's a violation of some sacred code.
My wife said the other day to me that I've been cranky for about a week or so. And then she goes, have you been eating? Well, I haven't been eating like I should, so I started eating. I'm the happiest person in the world now. I praise God for food.
Yeah.
Turn your Bible to Luke 24, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray you bless this time, give the words you want me to speak. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit have free reign and free unction in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. I read this the other night, and I liked it, where he sat down to eat with them. And if you'll notice all the Gospels, Jesus is always sitting down with disciples and eating with them. And I don't know about y'all, but I could be mad at somebody, but I ain't going to sit across with them and eat. I like eating, and I like having a good time when I eat. But I want to talk to you about emotions. And all of us have emotions. All of us are sad sometimes in our life. All of us are glad sometimes of our life. All of us are angry sometimes of our life. All of us are scared sometimes of our lives. And some of us are confused sometimes of our life. A lot of people say I'm confused all the time, but I think they're confused about me. Verse 15, it says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They was trying to figure out what they really believed. The guy that they had just trusted in had just got crucified right in front of them. And all their hopes and dreams and aspirations were killed right then and there, they thought. And I don't know about y'all, but I try to figure out some things sometimes, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. And verse 16, it says, but their eyes were holden, they should not know him. This ain't the first time in the scriptures that their eyes were holding. They couldn't see Jesus, though he was right there with them. In their confusion, they didn't recognize Jesus. Turn with me to John, the 20th chapter. There's another time in somebody's life, because of her grief, that she couldn't recognize Jesus. Mary went to the sepulcher. And in verse 11 it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You see, in her grief, she didn't recognize Jesus, although Jesus was right there. In the confusion of the disciples, they didn't recognize Jesus, although he was walking right beside them. There's all types of stories in the Bible. In Mark 5, it was talking about the demonic that got saved. And then the demons, which were many called, they was called legions, asked Jesus to put them in the swine. So Jesus gets them out of the demonic, throws them in the swine. The swine jump off a cliff. Even the hogs know it's better to be dead than be around demons. But then the people taking care of the hogs ran and told their owners, which were the good Jews of that town, and they came out and they saw Jesus, and they saw the demonic who was clothed and sitting and was in his right mind. Because of their greed, they didn't recognize Jesus. All they want is, hey, you got to get out of here. You're costing us a lot of money. There's another story in Mark. The disciples are out on the water. There's a great big storm. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking on the water. But they thought he was a spirit, and they were so fearful that they didn't recognize him. And finally, Peter stood up and said, "Hey, Lord, if that be you, you bid me come." And Jesus said, "It's I, come." And Peter jumped out of the boat on top of the waves and started walking towards him. Then all of a sudden, he started looking at the waves and the wind, and he got scared and started to sink. Notice that none of the other disciples, doubting Thomas, didn't come up out of the boat. And I want to tell you something. God wants each and every one of us to come out of the boat, come out of our comfort zone, and do what He wants us to do. So there's all types of emotions that we have that keep us from seeing Jesus. Let me do something real quick. I'm going to get where I can see my notes. Hey, look at there. You know, in verse I'll find it myself. I think I'm missing the page. Verse 21, I found it. It says, "But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." You know, Jesus not only redeemed Israel that day, but he redeemed the whole world. You see, he did it in a way that they didn't understand it. And Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For so the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't know about y'all, but if I was God, I would not have sent my son to die on the cross for the world. I would have done it another way. Thank God I'm not God. If I was God, I don't know about y'all, but I would have done it a little bit different when the Israelites got to Jericho. I don't know about walking around Jericho and blowing a trumpet and then shouting on the seventh day and the walls fell down. I wouldn't have done it that way, but I want to tell you why God done it. Because everybody knew it was God, not their own selves. And, you know, our finite brains, put it this way, our pea brains, cannot understand the ways of God. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I was smart enough to make the blood vessels and the veins and everything in a body. I don't know about y'all, but I would have made a squirrel. You know, there's all kinds of animals in this world. I would not have made a skunk. You know, there's things that I would not have made a spider. I would not have made a snake. All these things that people have paranoia about. I'm not one of them. I'm just scared of snakes and spiders. But I'm not God. And God created this world, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. God created everything in this world.
Amen.
And God created this world and everything that's in it in 6 days, and then He rested.
Yeah.
Whether anybody believes it or not, one day they're going to believe it.
Yeah.
And just like doubting Thomas, a lot of them is going to be a little bit too late, because the next time they see Jesus is going to be at the great white throne of judgment.
Yeah.
So they could argue, they could do anything they want to. You know, I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail. I'm sorry. The other day, Secretary of State was trying to be approved by the Senate. And there was a guy by the name of Booker on there that was talking to Mr. Pompey, talking about homosexuality. And Pompey said, "I believe the Bible." And Booker said this. He said, "Do you know that the homosexuals are having suicide? They're dying early and all these things?" And I don't know what Pompey said, but I would have said this. Yeah, that's exactly what the Bible says. They're against God. They have all this guilt and shame because they're doing something that's not right. And they're committing suicide. Why? Because their free lifestyle that they are so in love with is against God. And they have that guilt and shame because they are sinning against God. Therefore, they're not right. Therefore, they will never be right until they come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of things in this world that may make us feel good that's not right. We just talked to a lady that used to go to the church there in Watkins, and she's trying to find a place to go to church. We keep telling her about Brother Malucci's church, and she tried a couple other things, and I think she's probably going to go to Pastor Malucci's church now. But she went to one of these feel-goodism churches. She goes, "I'm 60-something years old. That just wasn't church to me." But you know what? If you go there, and you know, maybe you're not right with God, and maybe you're sinning, but if you go there and you raise your hand and you sing praises unto God, and it makes you feel good, and you walk out of there, you hadn't heard the word of God once, but you walk out of there and you feel good about yourself, man, I love this church. Do you know we're going to get judged by this book, not on how we feel? We're going to get judged by what we do with this book, not on what we think. So if feel-goodism doesn't work as a Christian, because my Bible says that if you will live godly, you will suffer persecution. My Bible says that you are going to have a lot of trouble in your life, especially if you follow Christ. If the world hated me, the world's going to hate you. And there's going to be a lot of storms in our life. We keep talking about we'll sit at the table and we'll pray for one another and God will answer prayer, and here comes another storm. We pray for one another and here comes another storm. We pray for one another, we get an answer from God, and here comes another storm. A lot of Christians are up and down. I have this problem. I have this problem. I'm seasick. God wants us to be steady. God doesn't want people to be emotion driven. People want Him to be faith driven. And we talked about it last week that a lot of people have ups and downs in their life. We all do, the unsaved and the saved. But the one greatest thing about this is when I woke up this morning, I said, "God, I need something." And it wasn't coffee. That was the second thing. And I got the coffee, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering prayers. But the first thing He gave me was Acts 27. Paul's going through a storm. I love this story. I love it. He's going through a storm, and Paul goes up to him and says, "Be of good cheer." They're in a hurricane in a small little wooden boat. Okay, they're not in a little 3-foot waves on Lake Seneca. Boy, this is rough. They're in a hurricane. The seasoned sailors are throwing everything out of the ship. If you would, turn with me to Acts 27, please. Verse 21 says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Y'all know the story. The storm didn't end right then. The storm kept going. But Paul said, "I heard from God. Be of good cheer. Let's eat. Don't worry about it anymore. God's told me it's going to be all right." You know what? God told me this morning it's going to be all right. The storm's still storming in my life, but it's going to be all right. I don't know how anybody can live without the grace of God and knowing God right now. In these times, the world can come to an end just like that. Jesus has come back just like that. It's a matter of time. Everybody talks about the last days. I think we're in the last... Franklin Graham and Billy Graham says we're in the last hour. Yeah. We're close. It could happen any time. You know, the world says that evil is good. And good is evil. And when you get where you may not be able to serve in the United States Senate or in Congress or in the cabinet because you're a Christian in the United States, you understand that good is evil and evil is good. Paul and Silas sang praises to God at midnight after getting beat and put into prison. "How's your faith?" "I don't think my faith is that strong. If I got beaten and thrown into prison, I'd be trying to get out of there. I'd be mad." And they was going, "Praise God. Praise God." Paul was steady. No matter what was going on in his life, he was steady. Even as Christians, we're mostly driven sometimes. If everything's going great, then let's praise God. And if everything's going bad, oh my God. What has God done to me? Why is this happening? My Bible says that we're to rejoice evermore. We're to pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wait a minute. That's not feel-goodism to me. Well, what happened about bless, 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 and claim it and name it? You see, the modern-day church, the evangelicals, aren't going to be too much praising God when they lose their job. When stuff bad happens in their life, what are they going to be praising then? They're going to be claiming it and name it, and nothing's going to happen. You know, if claim it and name it works, then Jesus would have said, "I want them 12 legions of angels to come get me, because I don't want to go to the cross." If Paul was a claimant and name a guy, he's going, "Oh, nope, not getting beat. See you later." You see, throughout the Bible, it shows you that these real people, because they made mistakes, they suffered. But God blessed them. So if we can't go through a little storm of our life and still be steady praising God, what's going to happen when that hurricane hit like it did at Acts 27? That wasn't a little storm on the Sea of Galilee. That was a hurricane. Romans 8:28 says, and everybody knows this, "And we know that all things work together for good, And everybody takes that, and everything in my life is going to work together for good. Can I tell you something? My sin, my addiction did not work for good. They didn't work for good. You know why? I didn't love God. If I loved God, I wouldn't have been in those addictions. It didn't work for good. It worked for bad. So all these feel-goodism people say that everything works for good to the all of... And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, I love God. I go to church. I'm in His praise and worship band. I play my rock music right underneath the fog machine. No, it says all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. What does that mean? If I'm really saved, I think that's the only way you can really love God. You may say that you love God, but until you really get saved, until you meet love, you can't show love. I had no love before I got saved. And now all of a sudden I got saved, and now the love of God was shed on me, was given to me. Therefore, I knew what love was. Pure love. Hey, I've been forgiven. There wasn't anybody on this planet that I had no unforgiveness for. Until later on I found out that I had no unforgiveness for me. You see, if God's forgiven me, I ought to forgive myself too. You see, our past is always haunting us sometimes because we have this enemy that always wants to bring it up. You know, something in your, if you're going through your life and something brings up an old feeling, an old sin or everything, believe me, it's not God, because God cast it away. It's in the bottom of the ocean. God's not going to bring up our old sin, but Satan sure will. So, are you doing what God wants you to do? Because see, if you really love Him, what did He tell Peter? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. You see, if we really love God, we'll be worried about what other people are doing in their life. Not worried about it, but wanting them to find that reconciliation that we have found. That we would want them to be saved. What is all this emotion about? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're confused, the Bible says confusion's of the devil. So maybe when we get confused sometime, I was confused Friday. I got through work. I was coming in to write my own check at the boss's deal. And maybe I got confused. I put 3 more zeros on it. I had just got a phone call from Police Chiefs Association of New York. They wanted me to donate the money. And the guy, I guess it was an officer, said, it only costs $15. I said, I'll give you $15. Well, I'm going to switch you to somebody else. I switched to somebody else, and they wanted the credit card. They wanted it right then. And then I said, I'm at work. And I can't do this right now. You know, mail me something in the mail. Well, by time I got berated, like I was going to have, because I wouldn't give them $15 right there, that cops were going to die because of this. And I said, look, she said, it only takes a $15, your commitment of $15 to save some lives. I said, I want to tell you something. I'm very conscious of the commitment and the sacrifice of officers make. And I will give you $15. You mail me something in the mail. You prove to me that you're who you're talking about, and I'll give you $15. Well, by the time I got through that, I was so confused and mad and frustrated that I didn't write my check out right. And for the first time in my life, I made a mistake. And it was not in my favor. Now, I got to go there and look like stupid. I can't even figure out my own check and say, you know what, this is wrong. The hours are right there. I got confused. Now, I want to tell you something. Satan tries to confuse us so we won't do what God wants us to do. Satan tries to get us to fall into unbelief so we won't see God's promises. Satan tries to get us into fear So we won't do what God wants us to do. Sometimes, I don't know what it is. I can get up here and talk all the time, but sometimes I get up here and I'm so nervous I can't even read my own writing and I can't say what I'm doing. I don't know what it is. I do. Because Satan don't want me to say what I'm supposed to say. And if he gets me confused, then I don't say what God wants me to say. It's the same thing in our life. It's the same thing when we're going to witness to somebody. You know what? It's my flesh, but I do not want to go out and witness. But once we start going out and witness, I don't want to stop sometimes.
Yeah.
Because our flesh. You see, we may have a fear that we have to talk to somebody. I have never had a fear of talking to people. After I get to know them. I don't know why, but sometimes when I'm around strangers, I don't want to talk. But when I'm around people I know, they can't shut me up. Because I don't have that fear. God doesn't want us to be confused. God doesn't want us to fear. God doesn't want us to be greedy. God doesn't want us to have unbelief. All these emotions that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. You know who knows our emotions and who wants to work on our emotions? You see, God knows our weakness. We know our weakness. And Satan knows our weakness. And if we don't work on our weakness, then we will never do what God wants us to do. You see, maybe we do need to watch what we eat. Maybe we need to make sure we are eating. Because, see, I wasn't fasting. I wasn't in great prayer. I just wasn't eating. Sometimes when we get distraught or something, the first thing we do is stop eating. You know what? What happened when Jesus didn't eat for a while? Did Satan come at us? I mean, come at him? Satan came at Jesus. So, Satan knows how to work on our emotions. And we don't need to be in a great big up and down deal every time that, oh, everything's good, praise God, oh, everything's bad, I want to die. He wants us to be steady so we could do his work. He wants us to be more like Paul. He wants us to be, no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstances, and that's what happy is, circumstance controlled. All the circumstances in my life are good, so I'm going to be happy. Paul was joyful no matter what situation he was in. In fact, Paul looked at death as a reward. You see, he'd been caught up in heaven before, and he saw what it was like. And he knew that the only thing he wanted to do for God is to please him here on this life. I'm not here. So this ain't to say I'm already crossed this threshold and this is what y'all need to do. What I'm saying is this is what I need to do. I need to be more steady. I need to be more God controlled than circumstance controlled. Or emotional control. Here in the last couple days, I've been really happy. I don't think it's just because I'm eating food. I think that I realize that God is in control. That God knows exactly where I'm at. And God knows my desires and my wants. And when I asked him this morning that I need something, I opened up to that Acts 27. And it said, be of good cheer. I believe God. It doesn't mean the storm's going to go away. It doesn't mean there's going to be another storm. It just means that God knows where you're at. And God is in control. You know what? You could rest after that. You could say, you know what? I may be in a storm, but God's in control. That it's going to be okay. Man, I love that. I after reading that, I lay back on the bed and I just started thanking God. I started thanking him for everything. And then I got up, and there was a cup of coffee waiting on me. And I said, really? Lord, this is awesome. That knowing that the God who spoke this world in existence loved me. That he cares about me. That my mother loved me to death. But my mom doesn't know how many hairs was on my head. And God knows how many hairs are on my head. God has written his name in the palm of, written my name in the palm of his hand. I'm the apple of God's eye. Somebody told me, he said that about Israel. Yeah, I know. But he sent his son to die for me. That's how much he loved me.
Yeah.
So I am the apple of his eye.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing for you. So it doesn't matter how much trials or how big the storm is in our life, God's bigger.
Amen.
And God could say, peace be still, like he did to the disciples. Or he could say, hey, it's going to be all right, but the storm's going to continue to blow. But it's going to be all right. I've got you. And if a sparrow can't fall without him seeing it, he knows exactly where we are. He's just looking for us to be able to say, you know what, God, I trust you. And really trust him. God, I love you. And really love him. And God, I'm so glad you love me. And really believe. And no matter what emotion we're going through, that we still trust God. And that we do what he wants us to do. Because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to do what God wants us to do. Because if we're doing what God wants us to do, we're bringing joy to Jesus. We're also bringing pain to Satan. Because we're telling other people about him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we could be a steady eddy. Lord, that we could quit this going up and down. Lord, that we could believe you for whatever you say that you're going to do for us, Lord. That no matter what, how big the storm, that you're bigger. And even if the storm continues to go on, that you're there with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm so thankful that you do love us. I'm so thankful that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I'm very and so thankful for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would get us over our emotional fears, confusion, whatever unbelief, whatever it may be in our lives. Lord, I pray that we could trust you for everything and anything in our life, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless in a mighty way, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
$325 in our hymn book. It's a good invitation song. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Same verse. It's where we want to live again. It's faith driven. Some of us spent too much time confusion driven. I like that one. All right. Been there. All right. But we need to be trusting and obey. 325. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word,